Okay, good morning everybody. On Friday, Hanukkah. Today's daf is Tainis Daf Chaf Aleph. We left off in Daf Chaf Amud Beis. We are at Kavakarach Rifta, the last of the four Hanhagos of Rav Huna that demonstrate the Tzidkus of Rav Huna. And we're going to continue with some of the more famous stories in Mesachas Tainis that come up in today's daf. First, the story of Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, and then the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu, and how he got the name Nachum Ish Gamzu. And then the Gemara is going to talk about Dever and how many people have to die in a given location in order for us to say that that place is in fact suffering from Dever. And then the Gemara is going to talk about how an Adam is Mechabed Mekomo, and it's not Mekomo that's Mechabed him. Meaning it's sometimes you have, like in rabbinical positions, that if a person has that position, then it means that he's Chashuv. And sometimes the person is such a Chashuv person that people view that position in a totally different light when it was held by an Adam Chashuv. So sometimes the Mekom is Chashuv because the person is there, and sometimes it's inherently Chashuv. So the Gemara is going to say that the person is mechabed the makom. The Gemara is then going to tell two stories of particular individuals who saved their entire neighborhood, and it's not the individuals you think it is. That you would think that it's the biggest tzaddikim, that because of them the neighborhood was protected. No, some small acts of chesed that saved the entire neighborhood. The biggest tzaddikim we can't even imagine the zuchios that they have and what that could accomplish. Then the Gemara is going to bring four different stories where there were gozer tainis in different situations. And then the Gemara is going to bring us hanhagos of Abba Umna, for which he deserved the greetings from Shemayim on a daily basis because of these unusual and special hanhagos that Abba Umna had. So let's begin. Again, we left off at Ki Havakarach Rifta, two lines from the bottom of the page. We're going through the special hanhagos of Rav Huna, because once the Gemara told us the Maisa about Rav Adda Bar Ava, that he was so special they would bring him into dangerous places when they wanted protection because they knew that his zuchus would protect them, and Rav Huna did that to Rav Adda Bar Ava. So the Gemara says, you should know Rav Huna also was very special. He just was a big anav, so he didn't think of himself in that way. So we went through the first three hanhagos of Rav Huna yesterday, and now the fourth one is Kavakarach Rifta, when he would sit down to eat food, have a pasuk l'bavei, he would open up his door, v'amar kol man ditzarech leisiv leichel, anyone who needs should come and eat. It wasn't only on the night of the Seder that he would say kol ditzarech leisiv leichel. Every day when he would have a meal, he would open up his doors to everybody. So I'm Rav Kulam Atzina Mekayimna. Rav said, I could do all of these wonderful things that Rav Huna did. I could imitate, I could mimic all of these behaviors, levar meha, except for this one where he just invites the whole world. I'm not able to do that. Why? Mishum de nefishi b'nei chela d'machuza, because there are so many b'nei chela, which presumably means so many aniyim in the city of Machuza where I live, and if I were to make such an announcement, I wouldn't have any money left. It would al piderach hateva, I would have nothing left. The Marsha raised the question that the Gemara in Baba Kama Kuf Yutes tells us that the Bnei Machuza were Ashirim, that Machuza was a very wealthy neighborhood. It wasn't a place where there were a lot of Aniyim. So what would be so difficult? Even if there were a lot of Aniyim, but there were so many Ashirim also. So it should have been enough to provide for the Aniyim. So he says Bnei Chela doesn't mean Aniyim. It means Chayalim of the Melech. It means soldiers of the king. That if they're going to hear that anyone wants to come could eat, they're also going to come. So every day he's literally going to need food for an army. So that is something that he was not able to do, that he was not able to guarantee. Now the Gemara moves on to the famous story of Ilfa of Rabbi Yochanan. Ilfa of Rabbi Yochanan of Garsi Bar Raisa. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan were learning Torah. Dechikalu mil satuva, and they were poor. They didn't have what to support themselves with. So Amri, Nekum v'nezel v'nevediskas. They said, no, we have no choice. We're going to have to get up and we're going to have to start engaging in business. V'nekayim v'nafshin, so that we can fulfill about ourselves. Efes ki lo yabucha evi, that there shouldn't be an Evyon, we shouldn't be destitute. So when it says, the Torah says, Becha Evyon, it means that a person has to worry about himself, that he shouldn't be an Evyon. It doesn't only mean that you have to worry about other people and give tzedakah, you also have to make sure you're not going to be an Evyon. So also, normally you would think you don't need a tzivoy in the Torah for that. People intuitively are going to try to make sure that they're not an Evyon. But someone who's a nafshal chashka b'Torah and is interested in just learning, so the Torah has to tell him, no, you also have to see to it yourself. yourself that you're not going to be in Avion. So Azuel Sveitu Segudu Re'iyah. They went and they sat under a dangerous wall that was in danger of caving in. The Shagasari writes in Gvura Sari that they must have not known that it was a coastal route well, because if they knew, then they would be in violation of what we learned in yesterday's daf of Al Yamar Adam B'Makom Sakana, that a person is not allowed to go purposely to a Makom Sakana. So they stopped at a location. They didn't realize that it was a dangerous place. Have a Kakarki Rifta. They started eating lunch. Also, Trey Malachi Asharis. Two Malachi Asharis came. And Shami Rabbi Yochanan, Da'amar Chad L'Chavri, Rabbi Yochanan overheard the conversation between these two Malachim that one of them was saying to the other, Nishte Elayu Haigutam and Naktalinu, let's throw this wall on them and kill these people. Sheminichim Chayolam Abba, Oskim Chayishah. They're abandoning Chayolam Abba. They're abandoning Torah and they're going and they're engaging in Chayishah. They're going to engage in Parnasa in Olam Hazeh. So Amrle Idach, the other Malach said, Shavkinu, let's leave them alone. Di'ikubuchad the Kaimele Shaita. Because one of them is not yet supposed to die. He's still going to become an Adam Gadol, and he's destined for greatness. So let's leave him alone. Rabbi Yochanan Shama, Rabbi Yochanan heard this conversation between the Malachim, and Ilfa lo Shama. Ilfa did not hear the conversation. Amli Rabbi Yochanan le Ilfa. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Ilfa, Shama Marmidi, did you hear anything? So Amalei lo. Ilfa said, I didn't hear anything. So Amar Midi Shami Anavi Ilfa lo Shama. So Rabbi Yochanan Cheshbind, he said, from the fact that I was able to hear this conversation, and Ilfa didn't hear the conversation, Shmamina Lididi Kaimili Shaita. It must be that was a message for me, that I'm the one who's destined for greatness, and I'm the one that's supposed to get back to yeshiva and continue learning. The reason the Ilfa wasn't punished, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva in Chelek Gimel Yardeya, Sim Pei Beis, was because he only planned on leaving Torah for a short amount of time, and because he needed it for Parnasa, because he was an Ani. But if he would have planned to leave forever, then Einach Nami Ilfa would have been punished for leaving as well. But Rabbi Yochanan was Omid L'Gedula, knew that he was going to be Omid L'Gedula, went back to the yeshiva. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said to Ilfa, Ehadar V'uki Ben Avshai, Ki Lo Yachdal Evyon Mikeref Ha'aretz. So he said, I'm going to go back and I'll fulfill about myself what the Torah guarantees us, that there are always going to be poor people. So I guess I'm just destined to be one of those poor people, because I can't leave the Beis Medrash to go engage in Parnasa. Rabbi Yochanan Hadar and Ilfa Lo Hadar. Rabbi Yochanan returned to his Torah. Ilfa did not return to the yeshiva. The Pesach Enayim writes that he gives him this reason. Rabbi Yochanan explains himself to Ilfa, even though he really changed his mind because he understood that he was Asa L'Eskadal, that he was going to become a Rosh Yeshiva, he was going to become very big, but why isn't that a violation of Gnevas Das? He's telling him, I'm going back because, the Pasuk says they're always supposed to be poor people, so I'll just volunteer to be one of them. That's not why you're going back. You're going back because you were just told you're going to be the greatest Rosh Yeshiva. So isn't that Gnevas Das? So he said that, Rabbi Yochanan says the Pesach Einayim, Rabbi Yochanan decided he was going back anyway. He was just, he missed the Torah too much, he wanted to go back anyway. And that's why he was it was being honest with Ilfa, that he was willing to be a poor person, who's willing to be Moser Nefesh for the sake of Torah. It happens to be he also discovered the added benefit that he's Omid L'Gedula. Probably, according to the Pesach Enayim, the two are related to each other. Meaning, why is it that Rabbi Yochanan was Omid L'Gedula and not Ilfa? Maybe it is that level of Mesiris Nefesh that Rabbi Yochanan was Omid. That's why Rabbi Yochanan was Omid L'Gedula, because he was willing to be to live in poverty. He was willing to do anything in order to become a Talmud. So not that he was necessarily more talented, not that he was necessarily more brilliant, and the Gemara is going to say soon that he was not. He was in fact not more brilliant, but he was willing to be Moser Nefesh. So one of my chaverim who was close to the Shlomo Fisher told me that Rebbetzin Fisher used to teach seminary girls, and she would say, who wants to marry a Talmud Chacham? And they would all, good seminary girls, they would all raise their hand. And she would say, who is willing to be Moser Nefesh to marry a Talmud Chacham? And then like half of them would raise their hands, and she would say, you know what, if you think that it's Mesiris Nefesh, you're never going to do it. You have to think that this is L'chadchila to be Moser Nefesh, that you want to be Moser. If you view it as Mesiris Nefesh, it has to be your personal choice. It has to be something that you really, really want, and not something that you're going to say, question every day of your life, why am I giving up so much? So that was Rabbi Yochanan according to the Pesach Enayim. He really did want it, and that's why he was telling. It wasn't just because he was promised anything. Ada is Ada Asa Ilfa. By the time Ilfa came back from his earning a living, Malach Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had already become the Rosh Shiva, and it happened to have been the minhag in those days that if you were the Rosh Shiva, you were also an Ashir, because they used to pay the Rosh Yeshiva very well. They'd make sure that he was very mechubad, so in order to make sure he was mechubad, they would make sure that he was dressed nicely and he had a nice home and that he was taken care of properly. So Amrlo, so they said to Ilfa, Yosef Mar Vigaris, if you would have sat and learned, Lava Malach Mar, don't you think you would have been the Rosh Yeshiva? Meaning you were better in learning, you were stronger in learning than Rav Yochanan was. So Azal Talanafshe Baaskaria Desvinta. He went and he hung himself by the mast of the sailboat, and he wanted to show that he, even though he went out to work, he never stopped learning, and he's just as fluent in his learning as Rav Yochanan is, or as anybody else is. And he said, if anyone wants to challenge me with any brisa that Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Oshia taught, that I'm not able to, identify a Mishnah to you that serves as the basis for that brisa, so nefila me'askaria desfinta v'tavana, I'll commit suicide on the spot. I'll jump from the mass, I'll jump into the ocean, and I'll drown. Meaning he was so confident in his ability to be able to identify the source of every single brisa in all of Shas that he said, I didn't give up my learning one bit, and I'll jump if I cannot identify the source of the brisa. So the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out in his Mavo to the Sefer Emes Liakov al Torah that you see from here that the nature of the relationship between brisos and mishnayos is that brisos are always elaborations of the mishnayos. The brisos are not independent. The mishnayos are very cryptic. The brisos a little less cryptic, and then the Gemara spells everything out. But brisos are always elaborations of the mishnayos. Rabbi Yaakov said, on a certain level, that's where the relationship between Nach and Torah, that if you know how to read it properly, you can find all of the messages of all of Nach in the Torah in the Torah itself. It's just so we don't know how to read it properly, so we're not able to find that. But it's all based there in the Torah, and that's how he gives the mashal of that relationship between Nach and Torah is like the relationship between Brisos and Mishnayos. So anyway, so now he was up there on the sailboat, so Asa, who's Saba, so someone said, oh wow, he offered a challenge, let's see if we could do it. Let's see. Yeah, I would have imagined that someone would have said, it's okay, we know that you're good, we know that you can learn, come down, let's talk about this rationally. No, but they said, oh, he offered a challenge, okay, so let's challenge him. So Ahus Saba came. Tosus writes in Maseches Chulin in the first parak that whenever it says Ahus Saba, it always means Elio Anavi. So if that's the case, it might be Elio Anavi over here. So Tanele, he told him a bright, so Omer Tenu Shaka L'Benai B'Shabbos, if a person who's dying and says that he leaves a will that he wants a shekel to be given to his child each week to support the child, but the children have more expenses than that and they need more than a shekel. They need a selah to survive each week. A selah is two shekelim, no selah. Clearly the person wanted to support his children, so whatever they need to be able to live, you give them a selah. But before he died, he didn't say give a shekel. He said, Al tinu lem el a shekel. Don't give them any more than a shekel. Only give them a shekel. Then, no matter what they need, ein os lem el a shekel. You only give them a shekel. Imamar. And if the fellow before he died, the father before he died, said, Mesu Yeshua Cherem Tachtehem, that when my children die, I want others to yarshin whatever's left. Bein Shamar Tnu, Bein Shamar Al Titnu, whether he said to them, give a shekel, whether he said to them, don't give them anything more than a shekel, Einos Amel a shekel. Then we always limit it to a shekel. Because if he already has plans that there should be money left over after his children die, that means that he doesn't want it all spent very quickly, and that he's clearly allotting only a small amount of money for the immediate future. So that Saba that asked him, who's the Tana in a Mishnah that holds like this Brisa, and that if a guy says that after he dies, that after his children die, other people should yarshin them, then you only give a shekel. Who says that? So Amalei, so Ilfa immediately responded, Hamani Rameiri, Damar Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. It must be that it's Rabbi Meir who says mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. Rabbi Meir in the Maseches Ksubos and Daf Samach Tes, that even though min hadin, you have to give the children everything they need, because the money now all belongs to them, they yarshined it, and the other people only get that which is left over after they die, and if there's nothing left over, then other people just won't get anything. So really, min hadin, what belongs to the children is everything, and it's only if there happens to be anything left over after the children are gone, that other people would get it, but since we want to be Mekayim Divrei HaMeis, and the Meis said that he'd like for other people to receive after the death of his children, we have to plan ahead in such a way to make sure that there's going to be something left for other people after his children die. That's the mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMeis. In each place in Shas where we have this concept of mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMeis, it's always about Dine Mamonis. Right? That's what the Achronim point out, that sometimes this phrase is misused. Everyone thinks mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMeis is that you always have to fulfill a person's dying request. That may be also because of Kibbalah, or whatever, there may be other factors in play as to why, or to give a Yishuv Adas to a person that he knows that you're going to listen to him, that, to especially a Koseis or whatever, so if he knows that that's a thing, that everyone's going to listen, so it's going to be more, leave him in a calmer state, perhaps. So that's all true, but it's not Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis. Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis is always only in Dine. So that's the story of Ilfan Rabbi Yochanan. The Achronim ask that it's unlikely that Ahu Saba is Eliyahu Hanavi over here, because it seems like this Ahu Saba really had this kasha that he didn't know who was the Tana that held this way. If it was Eliyahu Hanavi, he should have known. He should have known the answer to it. It doesn't sound like he was just challenging him just stomp to see if Ilfa. It sounds like he was really he really wanted to know. Like this was his opportunity to learn something that he was always wondering about. So it doesn't seem that it's Eliyahu Hanavi. So that's Ilfan Rabbi Yochanan. I remember when my chavrusa Rabbi Razner made Aliyah, his parting drasha to his kihila was about Ilfan Rabbi Yochanan. He read this Gemara and he said, sometimes a person has to hear the voices. He said, I'm zocha to be a Rabbi Yochanan that I heard the voices calling me to return to Eretz Yisrael. I'm like, oh, I'm the chavrusa. I'm Ilfa. So Amru Alav al Nachum Ish Gamzu. So they said about Nachum Ish Gamzu, a famous story. Shayasuma Mishtei Einav. He was blind in both eyes. Gita Mishtei Yadav. He didn't have hands. Kita Mishtei Raglav. He didn't have legs. Kol Gufa Malishchin. And whatever body he had left was full of boils. Vayimutal Beis Ru'ua. And he was in a dilapidated house. Veragli Mitasum Nachum B'Safal Shalmayim. And the legs of his bed were in these pails of water, so that bugs won't climb all over his body and cause him even more tsar. One time his bed was in this dilapidated building. Bikshu Talmidim Lefanos Mitasos, Talmidim wanted to get him out of there so that it doesn't cave in on him. So they were going to prioritize the Rebbe and then get everything else out of the house if they can. Try to rescue whatever they can. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Banai, Panuas Hakelim V'achar Kach Panuas Mitasi. They weren't his children, they were his Talmidim, but Talmidim Areim Kibanim. So Matmas Menechem Benechem Elu Talmidechem. So he said, my children, take the Kelim out first and then take me out. Shemuftach Lacham Cholzman Shani Babayis Ein Abayis Nofel. And he says to them, this man with no arms, no legs, blind in both eyes, and shchin all over his body, he said, because I know nothing bad will ever happen to me. So you could take the Kelim out first because nothing's going to happen to me. So Pinuas Hakelim V'achar Kach Mitaso, they took out the Kelim, then they took him out. V'nafal abayisim. As soon as they took him out, the whole house caved in. Amrulo Talmidim, the Talmidim said, Rebbe, v'chumiyachu shetzad gomorata. They said, we have to ask. If you're such a tzad gomor that the whole house stood on your account, lama also l'chakach, then why are you suffering such terrible yisurim? So Amr Lahem, he said, I'll tell you the story. Banai, ani garamti la'atzmi. This is my own fault. I caused this to happen to me. Shpamach, sisi mahalich b'derek l'beis chami. One time I was traveling, I was going to my father-in-law's house. There's more to the story. And I had three donkeys worth of laden donkeys. Is that a Shabbos Chanukah coincidence? Everyone's going to their in-laws for Shabbos. So he said. I had three donkeys. One of them with food, one of them with drink, and one of them with all sorts of treats. And an ani came and he stood in the road. And he said, Rebbe, I want you to give me parnasa, give me food to eat. I said, okay, no problem, just wait till I get off the donkey. I'm a little busy here. By the time I came down from the donkey, the ani had already died. So I went and I fell on his face, the face of the ani, and I said, my eyes that didn't have rachmanos on your eyes should be blinded. My my hands that didn't have rachmanus on your hands should be cut off. Raglai shelo chasu al raglecha yiskatu, and my legs that didn't have rachmanus on your legs should be cut off. Alon niskara daiti ad shamati kol gufi yemal ishchin, and I still wasn't calm. I still thought that I was. I still had a guilty conscience until I hadn't suffered enough for what I had done. Until my whole body was full of shchin. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes because he was nisrashal a little bit in getting off of the donkey, so he thought that his whole body needed to suffer. So Amrlo, so the Talmidim said, "Oy lanu shurinuch bekach, woe unto us that we see you in such a condition, such a minor violation, and you're suffering such yisurim. So what are we going to respond in the Olam HaEmes when we do much more serious things than tell an ani to wait a minute while we get ready to write the check?" So Amrlehem, Nachum Mishkamza said, "Oy liim lo riyisurim bekach. I would much prefer that you do see me this way rather than not see me this way, because now this means that I'm getting a kapara for what I've done wrong in this world." As we've learned before, that tzaddikim in this world are able to achieve a kapara, so they get punished for the minor violations that they have, so that in the next world they don't have to be punished for anything. And that's a good deal for them. They prefer that deal, to be punished in this world, so that in the next world they're going to have smooth sailing. They will have already achieved whatever kapara. I saw in Chashukei Chemed, in the new Chashukei Chemed on Tainis that someone gave me, Rav Zilberstein was asked, is it okay if a person has a lot of aniyim always coming to collect tzedakah, can he hang a sign on his door, my hours are, from this hour to that hour? And it's not just an open door policy, you come whenever you want, because his life is, very difficult if there are always people coming. So he said that min adin it's mutter. He says, "Beferish in halacha that min adin you're allowed to do that." But you see from the story of Nachum Mishkamzu that it's a midas chasidus to always have the door open. You see it from Rav Huna also, that we started the daf with Rav Huna. He opened the door every time he ate a meal. He opened that anyone who wants to come is able to come. So certainly, someone who has such an open door policy, you have a few tzaddikim in each generation that have such a policy that the door is always open for anybody and everybody whenever they want to come. But that's not normal. I mean, that's a very special level of righteousness. But my karle Nachum Mishkamzu, why did they call him Nachum Ish Gamzu? The Aruch writes that it's really one word, and it's the name of a place. The pasuk says in Divrei Yamim, "Ves Gamzu Ves Penoseha, Ves Gimzo Ves Penoseha." I think it is. So you see that there's such a place called Gimzo. So it's one word, says the Aruch. And if that's the case, then his name wasn't Nachum Ish Gamzu the way we say it. It was Nachum Ish Gimzo according to the Aruch. But the Gemara puts it as two separate words, Gamzu, and it's going to say it relates to Gamzu Latova. So that's why we pronounce it Nachum Ish Gamzu. The Anaf Yosef says that the Aruch isn't really arguing on the Gemara. The Aruch is just giving another reason why he was called Nachum Ish Gamzu. Because if it was only on account of the fact that he used to say Gamzu Latova, he wasn't the only one that used to say Gamzu Latova. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Samach Dalet tells us that Rabbi Akiva used to say Kol Man David Rachmana Latavavid, that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for the good. So why didn't they call Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Akiva Ish Gamzu? Because Rabbi Akiva wasn't from Gimzo. He was so it was a play on words, that since Nachum Ish Gamzu Gamzu was from Gimzo, and he said Gamzu Latovo all the time, so that's why they called him Nachum Ish Gamzu. And they did a study like that where they found that there was a much higher incidence of people named Phil in Philadelphia than let's say in Jacksonville, and a much higher incidence of people named Jack in Jacksonville than in Philadelphia. So people they associate with the names of where they are. So he would always say Gamzu Latovo. He was from Gimzo, so that was what was fluent in his mouth, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva, who didn't say Gamzu. He said Koman Dov Rachman Latava, but he said it as a normal sentence. But Nachum Ish Gamzu said Gamzu Latava. So anyway, so Komosav Salkale, whatever would happen to him, Amar Gamzu Latava, he would always say that this was for the good. The truth is, says Yanaf Yosef, everyone is supposed to say that. We're all supposed to aspire to that level of Rabbi Akiva, Koman Dov Rachman Latavavid. But what was unique about Nachum Ish Gamzu was that he said it in the moment. Meaning, most of us are able to say whatever's happening right now, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. Baal Bitachon, Baal Emunah is able to say, I know that in the long run this must be, I just don't see it yet, I don't understand it. He said it in the moment, that in the moment he said it's good right now, that he, no matter how bad it was good right now. Zimna Chada Bay L'Shtudei Yisrael Doron LeBei Kesar. One time the Jewish people wanted to send a gift to the house of the Kesar. So Amru, they said, Man Yezel, who should go? Yezel Nachamish Gamzu to Melumad Benisanu. Let's send someone who's Melumad Benisan. Benisan, let's send someone who has miracles happen to him all the time. Because even though you're not supposed to rely on a miracle, there is such a concept of people who are Melumad Benisan, people who Nisan become Teva for them, because it's just the way they live their lives. Their entire lives are a miracle. There is such a concept. So people, that's perhaps what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that why is Leah allowed to daven, that the Gemara in Brachos says, why is Leah allowed to daven that the gender of the baby would change from a boy to a girl, so that Rachel shouldn't be left with only one of the Shvatim? And the Gemara says that Leah is different. You know, Ein Maskira Maisa Nisim. So one of the interpretations, what that means, Leah is different, that maybe Leah is a Melumad Benisim. She's on such a Madrega that someone who's a Melumad Benisim is allowed to rely on miracles. But there aren't so many people that are like that. Nachum Ishkamzu is such a person. So Shadu Biyade Melo Sifta Davan Tovus Margalios. They sent him with a whole bunch of precious gems. Azul Bas Ba'ud Dira. He stopped at a certain inn to spend the night. Balayla Kamu Hanach Diorai V'Shaklinu L'Sifte Melinu Afra. The people who lived in that town where he spent the night found the treasures that he was bringing with him. They emptied the bags of all the treasures and they put dirt in the bags instead. They just filled the bags with dirt. Now there's a question whether we should be goris to the next line. L'machar ki chazinu amar gamzu l'tova. This line suggests that he was already aware at this point in time that there was dirt in his bags, and he said gamzu l'tova, that before he presented it to the king, he knew that there was dirt in his bags, and he said gamzu l'tova. So in the Gvuras Ari, he says that that must be a mistaken girsa, because if he knew that there was dirt in his bags, why did he carry on? He shouldn't have gone to visit the Kesar. He should have, right? Why did he go and bring dirt to the Kesar? But Rabbi Yaakov Endman says it could be that he had an appointment and he had no choice, meaning he had to show up and he had these bags and gamzu l'tova. He had to figure something out, but he had no choice of what to do. So anyway, kimat ha'asam, when he got there, sharinu l'sifta, they opened up the box, chazinu d'malu afra, and they saw that it was just full of dirt. The king wanted to kill all the Jews. Well, what kind of insult is this? So Amar, he says, they're mocking me. They're sending me a pile of dirt. So Amar, gamzu l'tova. And still he was saying, gamzu l'tova, it's going to work out. Eliyahu Hanavi, perhaps for the second time in today's daf, Eliyahu Hanavi came and appeared like one of the Yoatzei HaMelech, like one of the advisors of the king. So Eliyahu said to the king, Dilma ha'afra me'afra d'Avram Avunhu. Maybe this isn't just regular dirt. Maybe this is the dirt from Avram Avinu when he fought his war with the four kings. T'chiyavashad y'afra avu saifi, because when he fought that war, he would take dirt, he would throw it up in the air, and the dirt would turn into knives and swords, and when he would throw it, gili avagiri, when he would throw straw, it became like arrows. Tichsiv yitein b'afar charbo kikash nidav kashto, that ka'afar charbo, that the cherub, the sword, was like dirt, and the straw was like an arrow. So you see that maybe you could. This is a very impressive weapon that you're able to win battles with. So there was one particular region that the king wanted to conquer that he was never able to conquer. But so he tried it out. He tried some of this dirt and some of this straw, and he threw it up in the air of the kafshua, and it worked. So Ailul Beginze, he brought Nachmish Gamzu into his treasure house, and he refilled his box with the most precious gems. Vishadru Bikaraba, and he sent them with great honor. Kiyasu, when Nachmish Gamzu and his companions were sent away, so they stayed in the same place where they stayed on the way there. So Amalei, the people who lived in that town who had stolen all of the precious gems, said, they saw the kind of honor the king had afforded him. Said, what did you bring with you that the king gave you such honor? Meaning they were amazed. He must have replaced all of those gems in very short order. How did he manage to replace all of that so quickly? So Amalu Nachamish Gamzu said, "My deshakli mehacha amti lasam. What I took from here, I brought there." Meaning, I didn't change anything. So they heard that what happened, and then they did some research, and they saw that he had brought this weapon, and this dirt was the dirt of Avram Avinu, and that it turned into weapon. So Sashu the Dirayu. So they said, "Let's gather all the dirt from our whole town. and we're sitting on a gold mine over here. So they broke down their homes, and they brought all the dirt from all the destroyed homes, and they brought it to the Melech. So they said to the Melech, "Hi, Aphrodite, Yacha, Mididanu. The dirt that was brought to you, that was ours." So So the king tested the dirt that they brought him, and he did not find it to work. So he killed all the residents of that neighborhood who had stolen Nachum Ishkamzu's treasure to begin with. So good, that's the story of Nachum Ishkamzu. Now we go back to what the Mishnah had said. Ezu Dever. The Mishnah had said, what is the definition of Dever? How many people have to die in order for us to say that there is a plague? Iram Mutsiyah Chamish Meyos Rai. I believe if you have 500 people in a town, so we said that if you have three people in 3 days, three consecutive days that die, then that's Dever. Tan Rabban, Iram Mutsiyah Chamish Meyos Ve'elef Ragli. If you have 1,500 people in a town, could go in Kfar Akko, like a place like Kfar Akko. V'yatzai Menetisha Mesim B'shlosh Yom Ze'achar Zeh. And nine people die in the course of 3 days, by three people dying each day for 3 days, that's considered dever. But if that happens all in 1 day, or it happens over 4 days, then it's not dever. Kfar Amiko, and if you have a place that has 500 people, like Kfar Amiko, and three people die in three consecutive days, if it happens in 1 day or 4 days, then it's not Dever. The Gvur Sari points out that L'chora, the Stam Tana is like Rav Shmuel Gamliel, that it takes three times to have a Chazaka, meaning the assumption of 3 days is that that's what a Chazaka is, but it's a Machlokas throughout Shas, whether it betrays him in the Avi Chazaka or betrays him in the Avi Chazaka. Generally, we try to be machmir like both shitos, but it sounds like we're assuming that 3 days is chazaka. The Gvur Sari also raises the question that has to be dealt with, which is why is it that we say that biyom echad oba arba'a yamim ein zedever? If nine people dying in 3 days is dever, and in 1 day is not dever, why would 4 days be considered dever? Meaning, obviously, it's a chiddush to say that, and if nine people die in even less amount of time, that's not dever. That's a chiddush. But to say that if it takes longer for people to die, it always takes longer for people to die, right? That's the normal circumstance. So what's the chiddush of saying that in 4 days that it's not dever? Okay, so Drokarta, Ira Motzia Chamish Meis Ragli Haba. There was a city called Drokarta that had 500 people in it. Yatzim Ben Shlosh Meisim B'Yom Echel, and three people died on a single day in the place. So Gozer Rav Nachum Bar Rav Chista Ta'anisa. Rav Nachum Bar Rav Chista was Gozer Ta'anis right away. So I'm Rav Nachum Yitzchak Kimad. Who are you assuming like? Rabbi Meir. You're assuming like the Sheet of Rameir in Maseches Baba Kama, because in Maseches Baba Kama we learn about a shor muad, that if an animal gores three times, then it becomes a muad. So if it gores three times in 3 days, zachar zeh, it becomes a muad. But let's say it gores three times all in 1 day. So according to Rameir, it becomes a muad even in 1 day, because if richek nigichosav it becomes a muad, kirev nigichosav lo kol shkein, that if it spreads out its gorings into a muad, so certainly if it gores if it does three times much more quickly, then for sure it's Mu'ad, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, that just means it had a bad day. It just means that the animal had one bad day. It doesn't mean that that's the character of the animal. If it gored three times in 1 day, so he had a rough day. But it doesn't mean that that's the nature of that animal. So we must be assuming like Rabbi Meir, because you're assuming that Rabbi Meir said to Rabbi Yehuda that if it gores three times in 3 days, you're going to be chayiv, then kirv nigichosav, for sure you're going to be chayiv. So if when people die in 3 days, we say that it's a makas dever kolshkein. If they die in 1 day, it should be a makas dever. So that's what you must be assuming by making a fast when three people died in 1 day. That's not what the halacha was. The halacha was three people in 3 days. But you're making this same kal v'chomer that Rav Meir made, right? That's the question that Poskim discussed. It's brought in the tour and the commentaries on the tour from Maram Rutenberg, that when it comes to saying mashav ruach morad hageshem, that it takes 30 days of saying mashav ruach morad hageshem till we can assume that if you don't know whether you said Mashav Ruach Morad Hageshem, that you can assume that you probably did say it. So some have the practice that on Simchas Torah itself, they say over that whole paragraph, that whole bracha of Shemoneh Esrei with Mashav Ruach Morad Hageshem 90 times. Because in 30 days, it's going to be said 90 times. So if it works to change a habit over 30 days, so if you do it 90 times in 1 day, then for sure it's going to change the habit. But that's Tali in this, maybe Tali in this Machlokas Tanaim. Do we make such an assumption that just just because something done over time. So that's what in many shuls, in Mariv Rabbi Rav Willig shul, they on Simchas Torah they sing on Simchas Torah as they're doing that kafos, that bracha Shmon Esrei 90 times, and that way they can they get it done all in one day. So Amar Rav Nachman Rav Chisda Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Leikamar Lesi LeGaban. He said, come and join us. So, you know, come and leave your wherever you are right now, and we're in a makom mechubad. We're in a nicer place. Come and join us. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Tanina Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Makom Shalat Mechabdo. It's not a person's location that's mechabidim. Ela Adam Mechabidus Makomo. It's the person that gives cover to the makom. Shekain Matzino Bar Sinai. We find such a thing by Har Sinai. Shkolz Matshashchina Shruya Lav Amr Torah Gamatzam Vabakar El Yiru El Mulaharahu. That when the Shechina was by Har Sinai, we find that that none of the animals were allowed to go up on the mountain because the Shechina was there, and because of the cover of the Shechina, the Tzon and the Bakar are not allowed to graze by the mountain. Nistalka Shechina Mimenu. As soon as the Shechina is gone, Amr Torah B'mshol Chayovel Hemi Yalu Bahar. All of a sudden, everybody's allowed on the mountain. The Kedusha is gone. So you see, the Kedusha was only there because the Shechina was there. The Chen Matzino Ba'al Moed Shemidbar. We find the same thing in the Old Moed in the Midbar. Shechol Zman Shu Natoi. When the Old Moed was erected, Amr Torah V'Shalchem in the Machna called Tzurua. All of a sudden, all the Mitzrayim had to be sent out of the Machna. Huglu aparochis, they roll up the curtains. Hutru, and now Zavim Mitzrayim, the Kadosh Hashem. So now, all of a sudden, the Zavim and the Mitzrayim, they're all allowed there again because it's the Maka, it's the Shechina being there that makes the place special. It's not that because it's a special place the Shechina comes. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda said, Ihachi, if you're not going to come to us, Nekoman al Gabi Mar. Okay, so let us come to you to talk and learning. So Amalei, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Rav Nachman Rav Chisda, Mutav Yavo Mana Ben Pras, Eitzel Mana Ben Mana, better for a someone who's complete, the child of someone who's incomplete, a pras is a chatzi, is a half, to go to someone who's complete and is the child of someone who's complete. Val Yavo Mana Ben Mana, Eitzel Mana Ben Pras. Why should someone who's a tzaddik ben tzaddik go to someone who's a tzaddik that's not a ben tzaddik, who's a ben pras? And he was saying about himself, his father Yitzchak was not gadol like Rav Nachman, and that's why Rav Nachman is called Ben Rav Chista, whereas Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is not called Ben Rav Yitzchak. He was just a regular guy, so he was like a mana ben pras, as opposed to Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista, who was a mana ben mana, who was a gadol batora. It's difficult. As Fasema says, there must be some mistake in the gears over here. No one is allowed to talk about their father that way. You're not allowed to say, oh, I'm only a mana ben pras. That's what we discussed recently. Chai Adam writes that the chiv of kibbut aveim is such that every person is supposed to view their parents as if they are gedolei olam, regardless, even if they're anashim pshutim. So for him to refer to his father as a mana ben pras, Sfasema says there must be some girsa issue in the Gemara over here. It can't be that that's what happened. Okay, so says the Gemara another mice. So b'surah v'stabarta, there was a dever in surah, b'shevuse derav, lo havestabarta. But in Rav's neighborhood of surah, there was no dever. So savru minei, mishum z'chusei derav d'nafesh. Everyone thought it was because of Rav's gvaldukah z'chuyos. Yischazilei b'chalma, but then they saw in a dream, Rav d'nafisha z'chusei tuva, hamil z'zutrulei l'rav. Now, Rav has much greater z'chuyos. So to achieve such a thing is beneath Rav's level of z'chuyos. The whole thing happened only because there was a guy who lent out some kelim of his to help bury dead people. So it was a chesed that he had done, and that's what saved that neighborhood. It had nothing to do with Rav. Bidrokarta havas delekata. In Drokarta, there was a fire in the city. B'shevusei Dravuna lo havas delekata. And Ravuna's neighborhood of that city, the fire didn't affect the neighborhood. Everyone assumed it must be the great suchus of Ravuna that's protecting them. They saw in a dream that is actually beneath Ravuna's level of what he can accomplish with his zuchios. It was because of a simple act of chesed. There was a woman that would heat up her oven, and then when her oven was hot, instead of making her neighbors heat up their own ovens and buying their own fuel, she would, once her oven was hot already, she would allow her neighbors to use it. So it was a simple act of chesed. They told Rav Yehuda that there are locusts coming, so Gazer Tanisa, he was Gozer Tainis. Amrulei, they said, Lokam Afsidim, they're not causing any hafsid. So you don't need to be Gozer Tainis. Amrulei, Zavda Aisu Ba'adayu. No, they're going to bring, Zavda Aisu Ba'adayu, it's Bitmiya. You think they're bringing lunch bags with them? No, they're obviously going to eat all of our grain. If they're here, they need to eat something, so they haven't done anything yet, but they will. Amrulei, Rav Yehuda, Ikam Mosim Chaziri. They told the Rav Yehuda that there's some sort of swine flu. There's some sort of pig disease that's going around. So, Gazer Gaza Tanisa. He made a gzeira of tainis. Name of Rav Yehuda, Makam Shlachs, Minachem Shlachs, Mikol Aminim. Does that mean Rav Yehuda holds that if there's something affecting one type of animal, then it means it's going to affect everybody? It's going to affect everything? No, it's not a raya that he necessarily holds that way, but by pigs it's different. Shiny Chaziri, Tidamin Me'er Lebei Inshi, that pigs are anatomically very similar to people. So if there's something that's affecting the pig population, then we have to worry about the human population as well. But it doesn't mean that whenever there's anything that you always have to worry about everybody. It just means dafka by pigs. That's why when in high school you dissect a pig, right? The similarity of the anatomy. So Amar Leh L'Shmuel, they said to Shmuel, Ika Mosam Bechazai, that there's a dever in a certain city in Bavel. So Gozer Tanisi, who's Gozer Faste, so Amalei, Vamirchak, but that's such a distant location. Amaleka Mavrahach de Pasuklei, there are no rivers and other mechitzos, other natural borders that separate us from there, so it's only a matter of time till it arrives here. Amalei, now there's nothing that separates anybody from anybody, but, because there are planes flying over there, there's no way of separating anything. Amalei, Rav Nachman, Ika Mosna Ba'arad Yisrael, that there's Mavis in Eretz Yisrael, Gozer Tanisi, who's Gozer Faste, Amar Im Gevira Lo if the Eretz Yisrael, which is the Gevira, is suffering, then the Shivcha Chutz La'aretz is for sure going to suffer. Time of the Gevira of Shivcha. So it sounds like the only reason he made that assumption is because Eretz Yisrael is the Gevira and Chutz La'aretz is the Shivcha. HaShivcha is Shivcha, but if we're two cities in Chutz La'aretz, lo, then he would not have made the assumption that it's transferable. But when they told Shmuel that there was a problem in Bechazai, he was Gozer Tainis in his location, which was also Chutz La'aretz. Shani Yasam, keep no, because there are people traveling back and forth, and when there's no travel ban and there are people traveling back and forth, it's only a matter of time till that variant and the other variant, till it's all going to get all over the world. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up with Abba Umna tomorrow. Have a great day, great Shabbos, great Chanukah.